Chapter 1. The train holds the heat of the sun, even an hour after it has sunk beneath the pavement, pushing its way below the sprawling city. At the Vermont Sunset Station, a Chinese woman with a severe black bob leans over the platform's edge, trying to gauge how far away the train is. A group of high school kids stands under a poster for some TV show, sharing iPod buds and discussing a boy called Kool-Aid. He is throwing a party this weekend in Echo Park while his parents move his older sister to one of the UCs. You don't hear the kids laughing. They don't see you there, lying at the end of the tracks, where the tunnel disappears into darkness. It is the vibration that finally wakes you, your eyes fluttering open, the curved ceiling coming into view above. There's a heavy throbbing at your temples. The tracks are on either side of your shoulders, your spine pressed into the recess of the floor where candy wrappers and worn newspapers have sat for months. The horn wails. A sliver of light appears on the wall, casting out over the tile as the train pushes closer. You raise your head, bringing your chin to your chest, but your whole body is heavy. The feeling in your legs hasn't returned yet, and it's hard to turn your hips, hard to move at all, though you struggle trying to pull yourself into the narrow space beneath the platform. When you fall back, exhausted, you spot the train at the tunnel's edge. It covers you in a sudden light. The conductor has seen you. The sound the train makes changes. The brakes are a higher pitch now, more severe. It's too late. It is coming at you too fast. You only have one choice. You lie back, crossing your arms over your chest. 3, 2, 1. At first, it is all sound. The grinding of the wheels in the metal track. The rush of air as the train barrels forward. Its hot breath musses your hair. You stare into the train's dark underbelly, metal and pipe and wire. As the train finally slows, stopping in the station, it takes you a few seconds to process it. You are still lying there, just inches below the train. You're still alive. On the platform above, the woman with the black bob can't believe what she has seen. Now, as the conductor steps from the front car, her face is cut by tears. "There's a girl down there! Didn't you see? There's a girl!" she yells. The conductor is only thinking. She was lying down. She couldn't move. Why was she lying down? This is the fourth one he has seen in 26 years, but the three before were different. They weren't like her. Some stand, some throw themselves. Others have fallen and tried to pull themselves back onto the platform. But she was just lying there, so specifically positioned, arms crossed over her chest, shoulders just inside the tracks. It's too strange, he thinks, like someone left her there. From under the train, you can hear the woman yell. Her voice breaks, and a man tries to comfort her. Shadows move in the space between the train car and the platform ledge. A bell rings and people file off, footsteps mixing with questions. "I'm okay," you call out. Your voice surprises you. It is small and raspy, like a child's. On the platform, a man repeats your words. "She's okay." He has pushed his way to the front of the crowd, kneeling just a few feet above. The conductor calls, "Are you hurt?" On first glance, it looks like oil, the way it trickles down the side of your forearm and catches in your shirt. The blood is that dark, almost black. But you don't feel any pain. Just a burning sensation, as if you're standing too close to a radiator. "I'm okay," you repeat. The gash can't be more than 4 inches long. It doesn't look that deep. The conductor debates with a colleague about whether or not to pull the train back out. They radio in to the headquarters to consult, while the woman with that blunt bob calls 911, giving a frantic account of the ordeal. They are sending help. It feels like you are there forever, You can't look at the bottom of the train without wanting to scream. Instead, you close your eyes, trying to draw your arms into yourself, making the space bigger so you don't feel so trapped. It's automatic. The way you slow your breaths, counting them out, letting just a thin stream of air move through your parted lips. Finally, there's an ambulance wail. The sound of medics assembling on the platform above. Then they yell directions, telling you where to put your arms, your legs, as if you dare move. The train finally pulls out. You are watching the bottom of the subway cars pass, until there is nothing above you but air. The feeling in your legs has returned. You're able to sit up, but two men in uniform jump from the platform ledge with a board, lifting you onto it. It's only then that you notice the black backpack by your feet.